Good evening, Glory. Hallelujah to you. What's the story? What's going through you? I'm going to do this real Ryan Seacresty right now. This is the glorified version of a Bassin talk show. Champions Edition. Yes. Hello. Hello, Bass Galaxy. It's Wednesday night, and we're happy to be back here. We sure are. Hey, tonight we have the first. It's that time of year where the champions come to visit on Stray Cast, and we love it. The first two champs of the Bassmaster Elite Series 2022 season, Mr. John Cruz and Mr. Buddy Gross, coming aboard the crazy train. We call the glorified version of a Bassin talk show Stray Cast. That's right. That's right. Pretty excited about that. Tapsapootly positively. And you know who else is excited? The guy back there in the Alpha Angler hat, the producer extraordinaire of this whole shindig, this soiree, this extravaganza, this picnic. It's Andrew Ellenberger, and he's a ginger ninja. He's red on the head like a producer, should be. You know what they say. What's up, Ginge? How are you doing?
I'm good, and you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, man, John Cruz and Buddy Gross, champions tonight. Two-time Bassmaster Elite Series champions. Coming aboard the crazy train tonight. Hey, so it's Sarah's birthday. You lent her the car. How'd that go? Did she return it in one piece?
No.
Some dents?
Little bumping and grinding.
Hey, get this. We got two like and shares tonight, Ginge.
Yep.
Two like and shares. All you got to do is like and share this live Facebook feed. Take it off of private, and here's what you get. You get a KVD Line and Lure Pro Pack. That's right, a KVD Line and Lure Pro Pack. Courtesy of Isaac at KVD Line and Lure. They're sponsoring guys on the Tackle Warehouse Pro Tour, Chris Groh,
Yeah. Our
guy Chris, and on the Bass Elites, Matt Hugh, Robert Sullivan. KVD Line and Lure. All you got to do is like and share this live Facebook feed. You get a chance to win the Pro Pack KVD Line and Lure Extravaganza Pack. Now get this. This is the cool thing. Now John Cruz and Buddy Gross don't even know this, but tonight we are also giving away the Pro Fun Pouch. Yes, we're returning the Pro Fun Pouch Pack. So like and share this, and you're going to get a personalized package from John Cruz and Buddy Gross. Like and share the live Facebook feed. Contest winners announced at the end of the show. There it is. Real easy right there. Hey, the Bassmaster Classics coming up. Did you know? It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. The Bassmaster Classics coming up here. Kaboom kapow. Did you know that, Ginge?
I did.
What's that? Oh! I know that scary music is the ghost in Bob Rutherford's attic. Yes, that's what that is. And because Matt, Seth, and John Cox are all going to stay at Bob Rutherford's house before the Bassmaster Classic, and they're staying in the attic. And you know what happened in John Cox's.
Wild stuff.
Yeah, at Bob Rutherford's attic. But anyway, we're going to let the ghost in Bob Rutherford's attic do a little bit of advertising for us tonight. What do you think, Ginge?
I like it.
Okay, thanks. So the ghost in Bob Rutherford's attic, when you hear the letter V, what do you think of?
Well, Stray Cast, I think of the new V series from Crestliner, the redesigned Bass Hawks. Yes.
Oh, okay. Coincidentally, John Cox is sponsored by Crestliner, and you know John Cox well, Ghost in Bob Rutherford's attic. Hey, Ghost in Bob Rutherford's attic, when I say BMC, what do you think of? The letters BMC.
I think of the Bassmaster Classic and Berkeley's new shapes they're releasing.
Well, that makes sense. Ghost in Bob Rutherford's attic. Well, thank you very much for sharing. I hope that Seth and Matt and John Cox stay safe, and Bob Rutherford has a great time in the at the Bassmaster Classic as a camera boat driver. Shout out to Bob. Me and his hook set in the West. Hey, on to regular business now. You okay with Bob Rutherford's ghost back there? You feel safe, Gingy?
I'm okay.
Bob Rutherford's attic ghost. Hey, NPFL kicks off. Ging, did you know that? NPFL kicking off Kentucky.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's muddy. It's muddy out there, bud. It's like up. And I don't know. Best of luck to all our horses in the race at the NPFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, they'll probably need with that water up. Thank God they're, most of those guys got TH Marine Supplies Atlas jack plates. You know what I'm saying? Chow, chow, chow. Right, Ginge?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Shallow water bound. Hey, Ginge, I know that you love Alpha Angler rebounds. And it's one of my favorite things on the planet. If you have not had a chance to experience the Alpha Angler rebound, please do so.
Yes.
Do so, Ginge. And you know one of my favorite things to put in accompaniment to rebounds?
Fritzide.
Well, yeah, besides the Fritzide, I like the poison hooked at Chicalis. They capture bass.
Oh.
They capture bass every time. Hey, you want to bring the gypsy? Where's this gypsy at? Let's get this guy going here. Oh, yeah. When you hear that, it's time for the 10 Cup Whiskey Word of the Week with Luke Foley. He's a whiskey gypsy. Wait, that was the ghost from Bob Rutherford's attic. And it's Courtney. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
You both look amazing, and you have a happy glow to you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Excellent. I
just got back from Leesburg. She went down there with me this week. She met Matt and Seth.
I heard, and you're a whiskey gypsette. Is that a thing?
She is.
Cheers. You know how they say cheers in Irish?
Solancha.
Yeah. I like you, Court. I like you. You know stuff. You know stuff. Hey.
I heard that you might be a little upset with me.
Me?
Yeah.
How am I upset?
I heard that I am his roommate at the Classic this year, not you.
Yeah, me and Foles don't get to go butts to butts this year. I don't know. You know what I mean? Sharing a bed. Court, hey, let me tell you, I don't blame him. That Veronica Vaughn, you know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Yeah, well, thanks a lot for that, Court. No, but Foley's taking good care of me. He told you that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working it out.
He got me a 12-star hotel, one of those. Yeah, four times three. That's what I'm talking. So, where you at? You're back in the Whiskey Gypsy Fortress right now of Solitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
We got back early Monday and getting ready to leave again for the Classic. You know, Thursday. So. Next Thursday. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's all coming aboard the whole tour. Now, what do you got there? I don't know what's going on because first, like you got one cup here and then you bring a big old mason jar out.
I got iced tea. And then I got a 10 cup rye old fashioned.
Yeah. What? And you're chasing? Like, what is going on here?
You got to hydrate. You got to hydrate.
Courtney, is this like an Olympic event? Is this a winter whiskey event right now?
Usually I have an ice water too, so I have three drinks at all times.
You're very good at hydrating. You sure are.
Yes, yes.
That's so good. It's one of your finer qualities in life.
Yes,
100%. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to finally meeting you in person at the BMC, Courtney. And I am not mad at you at all.
Okay,
I'm not mad.
I was worried.
Yeah, if Berkeley didn't get me an awesome room, I'd be really mad. But they did. So thanks, Berkeley. Hey, but anyway, Foles, it's a 10 Cup Whiskey Word of the Week. 10 Cup Whiskey is the official brown liquor of bass fishing. And when we give you the 10 Cup Whiskey Word of the Week every Wednesday here on Stray Cast, we ask that you please sip responsibly. Luke Foley, what is the 10 Cup Whiskey Word of the Week?
Well, we just got done with the Florida Swing and Elite, so let's go with Florida.
Oh, what do you think? Florida. Wow.
Florida.
Okay, you trying. I know that you're a guy that likes a party, and I can tell by the way that that Courtney's agreeing in the background that she agrees with Florida, because Florida's going to do the trick tonight, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Florida goes down that we're going to have a good time. And please, when you take a sip, choose any beverage you choose, whether it's 10 cup whiskey, cold Coca-Cola, or a nice cold sweet tea like Luke Foley has, but please drink responsibly. Hey, yes. Luke, the like and share tonight is KVD Line and Lure, okay. Pro Pack. Courtney's eligible. You're not. Okay.
Okay.
All she has to do is like and share the live Facebook feed. Also, a Pro Pack from Buddy Gross and John Cruz, too. Like and share the live Facebook feed. Foley, you're not eligible for that either. Courtney is.
All right.
So we like Courtney a little better than you each week, I think.
That's the way a lot of my friends been these days.
It's been a lot of, it used to be a lot of mail. Like, we really enjoy Luke Foley when he comes on the show. And it's like, hey, when's Courtney coming back? She wasn't on last week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We had a couple weeks hiatus.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey. I actually have to go. I got to pull a sugar cream pie out of the oven. I'll be.
Oh, wow. That's my sugar
cream.
She's
making a pie.
She's pulling. Foley, you done well. Hey, I power pull down for pleasure. I don't know about you, but apparently you do. And I'm going to put the power pulls down right meow. And Buddy Gross. And John Cruz coming up first.
Yeah.
John Cruz coming up first. Then Buddy. Like and share the live Facebook feed. I'm Pat Renwick. That's Luke Foley. That's Courtney. They're both whiskey gypsies. That's Andrew Ellenberger, the whiskey gypsy. The power poles are down. We're having pleasure. We're coming back. Vasilite Series champs. Yeah! Pumped up!
Hey, guys.
Nobody wants to run out of power when they're on the water. There is a better way. Introducing the Charge Marine Power Management Station from PowerPole that does the work of three devices, a traditional battery charger, a charge on the run, and an emergency start system, PowerPole Charge.
This is the mountain, and this is Mountain Whiskey. Unspoiled. Untamed, forever wild. There's no safety net, no way down. Up here, it's just man and the mountain and his tin cup. Tin cup whiskey, mountain whiskey.
The TH Marine HydroWave H2 KVD Edition is a surefire way to ignite a feeding frenzy. The HydroWave utilizes a sound-emitting technology that imitates baitfish and other feeding fish below the surface that preys on the competitive nature of bass and other game fish to get you more bites. The HydroWave is another way that TH Marine has you covered from transom to trolling motor.
Welcome back. This is the glorified version of a bass fishing talk show. Yes, it is time to talk to the champion, John Cruz. Bass Galaxy, give it up. Two-time Bassmaster, Elite Series champion, the one and only John Cruz. Looking very astute in the study. Very astute in the study. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well, man. Just looking forward to headed down to South Carolina and get ready to try to rock out another one.
Yeah. I mean, and keep it going. Keep things going.
Right.
In the season.
Yeah, I was, definitely that first week was amazing. And then the second week, not as much for me in the results, but I still feel like I was making good fishing decisions. So I'm not too upset about the way I'm fishing, but the results obviously were not good and didn't make me happy.
Well, that's okay. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but what matters is right now, and what matters is 2022. And you have a goal in 2022, basically just to kick ass, John Cruz. I mean, you just
want absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, that's
absolutely
not that it's not the goal every year, but this year
Right.
Especially. You're like, you remember that one movie? How old are you, John? How old are you?
43.
So you may or may not remember this. I got a few years on you, but there was a movie, and I don't even know the name of it, but there was a guy in the window, and he was screaming. He goes, "I'm as mad as hell, and I can't take it anymore." And I don't remember. I think it might have been called Network or something. I don't know. My dad was watching it. I know that. But anyway, it's like, not. So I backed up from the microphone, Ginge, because I didn't want to blow the whole damn thing out. But yeah, I think that to a certain extent, that's you, John Cruise, and you come out swinging in 2022, and damn good job. Congratulations on the victory, bud. Yes,
thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was very emotional that week. I feel like that my style, the style that I fish, I like to consider myself versatile, and to be able to play the conditions, it really, the tournament, the way it kind of evolved, it really worked out in my favor. Plus the knowledge that I have of the St. John's, it just all kind of clicked together and it worked out great.
It sure did. And it really kind of melded, if you might say. But I got to ask you this. I know you've been doing a lot of tournament talk and all that good stuff, derb talk, and going over the tournament. Before we do that, though, I really got to know, like, how are you, man? Like, are you okay? Is everything cool? It's a lot of pressure to win. First off, it's a lot of pressure the 4 days. But then after you win, there's a lot of pressure too, John. I mean, like any athlete would have. You know what I mean?
I do. There's a lot of obligations that come with a win on the level that we are currently on the Elite Series. And I was really kind of prepared for that, especially winning before and then being around other guys that have won. So you really kind of know what to expect. And that was good. And that helped me prepare. But you know, the 2 weeks in a row physically was tough. But I feel like that all my physical preparations were good for that. That helped me quite a bit. But you know, when I came back, you got a little short window. I was only home for 4 days, and then right back out to the Classic, and then we're gonna have another short window, and then back to Santee Cooper. So I'm just you know, working hard to make sure I've got everything prepared on the missile bait side, fulfilling all my sponsor obligations, speaking engagements going forward. And then obviously getting myself prepared for the Bassmaster Classic. A lot of tackle had
That's
to change.
That's a lot.
You know, yeah, a lot of tackle had to change from the last two derbies to this next one. Plus all the family obligations. You know, I helped coach my younger daughter's rec basketball games. So I just enjoyed that and try to spend as much time with my family when I am at home.
Well, you're doing very good with something that is called the PVPPE. Do you know what that is? It's a.
Of course not.
Astute John Cruise in the study does not know what the PVPPE is. All right. Well, it's the.
I know what PPE is.
Yeah.
But well, I don't. And I know what.
This is the.
I know what that part is.
This is the post-victory personal pressure emotion. Post-victory, personal pressure, emotion, and all champions experience it.
Okay.
Whether
it's kind of like postpartum, right?
It's kind of like postpartum. But hey, everyone
but different.
Yes, it's the same thing, only different. It's less calories, but more pressure. But here's the thing. It's like everyone experiences this when they go through a high point in their life, whether it be you got a raise at work, whether you just scored an amazing new girlfriend, whether you just made any major life decision, whether you went a bass fishing tournament, there's always pressure you put on yourself, or at least you find that champions put pressure on themselves to continue that level of excellence. Do you know what I mean? Or people that succeed in life continue to put pressure on themselves, and it's how you deal with it that continues the role of excellence. Do you agree or disagree? Mr. Cruz?
I agree 100%. And I think that the best answer is not what most people think.
Talk to me.
I think that the answer to continued success is that you have to realize that it's not an every occurrence deal. Like, it's not going to happen every time. You have to understand that. And I laugh because people tell you all the time, like, especially after the Harris chain, because I went down there and sucked.
Yeah.
Right after the St. John's, people go, oh, you can't win them all. And I was like, no, that's not true. Technically, you can win them all, but just nobody does. There's a difference. Statistically, it could happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Gotcha. I get it.
It's not going to happen.
I get it.
I'm okay with not finishing first every time. But for me, I have to put myself in position to do the best that I can. I need to prepare. Everybody has a different level of preparation. I have a certain level of preparation and what I expect from myself. And then during the event, during competition, I have a certain level of performance. And I don't mean like how many fish you put on the scales performance. I mean performance as how do I execute what I'm doing? How quickly am I adjusting? And how well am I reading the water? And how well am I making decisions? And if I'm making good decisions, I'm making good adjustments, I'm not losing fish, I'm executing well, then I have to be okay with the result. As long as I prepare well, you know, have a good strategy and practice. Sometimes you can do all the other things good and then just totally blow it with a practice strategy of practicing like all over the place and getting too spread out or just not having the right practice strategy. So I don't feel like I did any of that. I just did not get the bites, especially on the second day to have a good tournament. And, you know, driving home, I became okay with that. Now that night and the next morning, I was still pretty chafed about where I ended up finish wise. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized I'm not fishing bad. I didn't make bad decisions. I made good decisions. I made a lot of good adjustments. Looking back on it, like, damn, that was genius. Especially since I went and watched live and watched some of the other guys fish and how they're catching them. Like, man, I made a good decision. I still made good decisions. I'm good. I'm just going to keep rolling with what I do, you know, kind of on to the next one.
Well, good. That's how you're dealing with the pressure. Because no matter how you look at it, no matter what any champion or anybody that achieves success says, once they achieve that point of success, there's a bunch of eyes on you. Everyone's looking at you now.
Oh, yeah.
John Cruz won the first event. Second event, they're all over your ass. All the cameras are on you. Everybody's on you.
Oh, yeah. Looking. Yeah, I had the camera, you know, that first day of live at the Harris chain because I was angler of the year. And I feel like I went out there and I caught a good number of fish. I made some adjustments. I tried some different things. I caught some fish after I made my adjustments and ended up calling up pretty good towards the end of the day. Just never got a real big bite. I fished clean, didn't lose anything. It was good. You know,
good. You accepted it because it's like they say, you kept your side of the street clean. You can lay your head on the pillow at night. You know what I mean? It's like you did what you knew you could do. So
right.
Otherwise,
I overachieved on practice. I never got a big bite in practice. I just, you know, I'd never really stumbled into those areas that were holding the better ones, or I never quite dialed in the technique that had the better ones. But I tried a bunch of different stuff. I never threw a prop bait all of practice. The first day of the tournament, I caught two pounders on prop bait.
That's awesome.
Just because the conditions felt right. You know, I was making good decisions as far as, you know, trying the things that I thought would work, and they did. But I just never got rewarded with one of those real big bites to jump me up into like the 20s or into the teens or in top 10 or something like that. So I still feel like I fished a good clean event, especially that first day. Second day was really frustrating because I was out there in the crowd.
Enough about it. Enough. You
didn't ever.
Onto the classic, right? Onto the classic.
Right.
That's enough. Yeah. It's done. Harris is done. It's done.
Yeah.
Buddy Gross won. He's on next. You won St. John's.
Yeah, I know. I want to hear more about Buddy. Buddy fished a phenomenal tournament there. I want to hear more about him talking about the Harris team.
Hey, I want to back up a minute, though, John, and ask you about that prop bait. There's a certain mystic to that thing in Florida, isn't there? I mean, it really is. That whole prop bait mystique.
It is. For some reason, it has a drawing power. It draws fish out of Deeper water, it draws fish out of grass. It draws fish much more. So that's why it's not as popular, say, up north or, you know, in the middle part of the country. It's just not as popular because the fish don't need to be drawn out of the area quite the same way, I feel like. And I don't know exactly why it does, but I use some old Lure Jensen one that I got from way back when I was sponsored by Lure Jensen a zillion years ago. And I've caught a zillion fish on that thing. It's pretty
awesome. Is
that what
you're throwing still? That's the same bait?
Oh, yeah. Same
nice.
One.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, that's it. I love catching fish on a prop bait. You know, Fighter and I were down there screwing around before you guys started your season, and that was one of the main reasons I like stocked up on a zillion prop baits.
I'm not kidding you. I've probably thrown minimum 15, maybe close to 10, 20 different types of prop baits, and I still keep coming back to that old Lure Jensen. It just none of them have the same sound. And are just consistent with the action, and just they're that one is just so dialed in.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding.
Hey, I know you're a connoisseur of old baits yourself there, Pat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm some kind of sewer, that's for sure. And especially the old wood ones.
Yes. Hood and crankbaits.
Yes. Did you ever get a chance to put that old Bagley to use, or is it on the shelf?
It is on the shelf. I couldn't bring myself to tie it on. It is on the shelf, and I look at it occasionally. It's in my office.
That's cool. And I'm glad Ginger does the same thing. When I give him the Ginger Ninja, I give him an old Bagley or something. It goes right in the shadow box, right on display.
Yeah, it depends on what. If I have like another one similar, then I would throw it.
Then
I don't have one like that. That was it was a BB1 that you gave me. It was beautiful.
It is. I think it's in CW, if I remember right. Crawfish, isn't it a crawfish on white or something like a bone and brown or something?
I was thinking it was the chocolate.
Chocolatey. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It is. I don't know. Enough. We're going.
No. No. You're right. It was the bone on white. Yeah. You're right.
It's chocolatey, yes. On the top. Yeah. It's the.
Yes. Hey, yes. You're right. That is the color you gave me. It's. Oh yeah. Dialed.
It's delicious, no matter how you think about it.
Oh yeah.
Oh goodness. Onto the deal, man. 20 years you've been at this, right? Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. I graduated college in 2000 and basically started fishing full time right after that, and have not looked back since. The third Bassmaster tournament that I ever fished, I came in third. I won a boat. I sold it that next week for $22,000. And that was basically the money that I used to kind of get started.
That's awesome. And it's
heck yeah.
It's, are you more driven now, or let me rephrase that, not driven, but self-disciplined now at this point in your life, now that you got wife and kids and you know, the family's evolved and than you were, say, 20 years ago when you first got in this
game? I'm the same dude I was back then, for sure. I mean, I've still got a wild hair, you know, if I need to or if I want to. But the difference is I'm just more educated now than I was back then. It's about a lot of different things. I mean, about investing and about fishing and about traveling and all that kind of stuff. I'm a lot more educated on a number of different topics, and I think that's the biggest difference. But you know, with all that knowledge, you have to sort of siphon through it. You have to be able to, you know, like, is this useful or is this a waste of time and energy and muscle? And so that's the one thing that I feel like I've definitely tried to make sure I continue to get better at, is to be, you know, be able to stay focused on the things that matter. Like, you know, you're talking about, you know, the pressure that people put on themselves after they do well. Well, the best way to do that is to duplicate what you did to win the first time. And in order to win the first time, you have to stay focused on what the fish are doing and how to stay on top of catching more than everybody else. And that means staying on top of actually what the fish are doing, not what everybody else is doing. Not what you did the day before or the week before or the year before or 3 years before. You stay on top of what the fish are doing that particular day, and then what they're going to do the next day and the next day and the next day. That's what matters. That is all that matters.
And you did it at the St. John's, a beautiful example,
right,
of that.
Absolutely. I've been working on that for 20 years. You know, I mean, that is what I've been working on, is trying to stay focused and stay in the near of what is in front of me and what really matters for performance wise. And that is, what are the fish doing? What are they going to be doing tomorrow? And how I'm going to catch them even better than I did the day before. That's all that matters. All that matters.
Yeah. And you adapted. You were very chameleon-esque on that,
right.
At that derby. Right. Man. And we,
oh yeah. Yeah. We had different weather, you know, it got warm and it was cooler and then it got warmer. And then we had a little rain in the last day. Yeah. You had to adapt.
And we reiterate this fact often on StrayCast that a 4-day Elite Series event is grueling. And the fact that you're able to win it is just amazing. You got guys that, you know, that are back at the pond. They're like, man, I could take those boys on any day over there on that St. John. I just run around there. I got them old cypress knees. I knocked that bait off there. I catch 27, 28 pounds every time. No, but you adapted 4 days. 4 days right. To this. And you were a chameleon each day.
It's hard to do. You know, I mean, Massa, he fished a really good tournament. He was consistent through the 4 days. He just never had one of the, he had 23 pound day, but he never had one of those real big days to make a run, like a Bob Downey type big day.
Yeah.
To where he run. Yeah, like John Cox had one really big day. If he would have had a little bit better in between days, he would have been right there as well. I mean, he just didn't quite execute on the last day, or he would, you know, he might've taken that trophy from me, but I'm be honest with you, I'm glad he didn't. And I told him right to his face the same thing.
Well, the point is you adapted and you won. I mean, you adapted, man. It's like,
I
saw you catching the bigs on a spin pole. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, Johnny Cruz catching an 8.5 pounder in Florida on a spin pole. Things are going to happen for this boy. You know what I mean, old son? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Then the next day, I caught a limit on a spin pole and then culled all but one of them out on a chatterbait.
Yeah, and then you're like, and then that one fish, you're like, yeah, threw it right in his mouth. Threw it right in his mouth.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. I call it right in the clown's mouth. You just throw it over there, and then you lift up, and he's on there, right in the clown's mouth. That's what that is.
It's like a carnival game, and yeah, I mean,
absolutely,
things like that were happening. Catching one, like, where did I see it? Outside the lock or something? Catching one, or
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, that was not really an accident. We had some wind and a little rain left over as I was coming up to that lock, and I said, man, those fish are going to be active on the outside of this pad line, and I mean, it was like, it was waiting there for me to do exactly what I thought. Yeah. I pitched over there and kind of ripped that chatterbait a little bit, and man, it just, my line went slack. I think he probably shot out from 2 or 3 feet from within those pads. It shot out 2 or 3 feet and just smoked that chatterbait. And I was waiting there with a good rod position and just loaded up on him.
Yeah. That's where you, when you caught that fish, you mouthed fun time. Right? Isn't that
what something like that?
Yeah, you turned away and mouthed "fun time." That was very you. I like how you contained yourself, John. You did a heck of a job and avoided fines.
Yeah.
Good job, sir. Good job.
Correct. And happy go more memes.
Yes, exactly. Man, but that was cool. What were you drop shotting? What was the deal on that spin pole? What was going on there?
It was a drop shot. It was a bait. It was a color sample of collaboration. If I can get that out, collaboration we have with another company that's going to be making some baits for us in. It looks like probably May is when that project's going to come out.
Oh,
and that's going to be pretty cool. I'm very excited about that. Very excited.
Wait, so you just dropped a little sneak. You got you're throwing.
Yeah.
So you're throwing on the spin pole a sneaky bait, and you didn't say too much about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
Tell me more.
It's a collaboration. We're collaborating with RoboWorm, and we're going to have our bait, and they're doing the colors. They're doing the manufacturing, but it's in our colors. Like we had all these colors made exactly how I told them to make them. So they're not any of their colors. They're our unique colors. and it's our unique shape. They made new molds just for us.
Cool.
We went back and forth with the drawings and all that kind of stuff. So we have a new bait coming out, and they're going to be manufacturing it for us. So that'll be out in, like I said, probably the May timeframe.
Awesome. You should do a special Aaron color, a Missel Aaron color.
I've thought about that. I mean, they have like 10 Aaron Martin's colors. So I did. That's the reason I didn't, they already have a bunch of Aaron Martin's in colors. So I don't know. I felt weird about it. I've got the Aaron Martin's logo on my jersey, two places. I've got it on my boat, two different places. I'm definitely going to do anything that I can. And that, you know, doing a collaboration with them seems like an obvious choice to do that. But I didn't want to take away from anything that they have
That's true, too. You know? I don't know. That's just where my buddy the elf brain goes right away.
You're right. Yeah, my buddy the elf brain went exactly the same place yours did. And then I thought it through, and I didn't think that it was quite appropriate. I didn't want to take anything away from their Aaron stuff.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm going to a little benefit for Aaron. Leslie and Aaron's buddy Rings, you know Rings. He called me. They called me down. I'm going there on the 27th, this Sunday.
Yeah, they're having a little deal down there, and I'll be at the Classic doing the pre-practice thing, so I won't be able to attend.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll put in good words from you.
Yes,
that's for sure. But no, that's cool. Collaboration with RoboWorm. That's a big deal, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of a StrayCast exclusive we've got here. So just me and you and...
Yeah, don't...
Well, okay, everybody else listening, they all know.
Tomorrow when it hits the iTunes, you're going to be in big trouble, buddy. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. Yeah, get a little buzz going. Let people talk about it.
Good. What was going on with that chatterbait? What were you throwing like a paddle tail thing behind that? What was that?
I had two different baits on there. I was either throwing a full-size D-bomb on the back vertically, or I had a Missel Bait Shockwave 3.5, which is a small little boot-tail swim bait. I fished the Shockwave 3.5 most of the time. I'd say 80% of the time on a chatterbait, because it's smaller and it doesn't have a lot of resistance. So when you're reeling either a 3/8 or a 1/2 ounce chatterbait, that chatterbait's kind of jumping back and forth. If you
sure.
get in real clear water and pitch it way out there and just reel it in, I mean, just steady reel it in. Man, that chatterbait just jumps back
it
and
hunts.
Forth.
It hunts like an old Bagley, buddy. Yeah.
It hunts like crazy. But if you put too big of a trailer on the back, it doesn't do that as much. So that's why I like that little, and you know, and your hookup ratio is fantastic because that little swim bait is so small. So if I want erratic action, I go with the Shockwave 3.5. If I just want a bigger, bulkier profile, I put that full size D-bomb on there. We make a zillion different D-bomb colors.
And sure.
You can match any kind of chatterbait, whatever you want with that.
So you rig it like, so it's the shape, so it's up.
I usually do vertically, and then I'll take and trim off some of the ribs on the top so you get a better better hook bite.
Okay. Yeah. And I know guys are doing that like with, you know, like other style baits, like rodents and things like that as well. You know, I mean, that seems to be a thing.
I'll just say I know a number of people that use that D-bomb when they want that larger profile. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a sneak. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
You trim your skirts up on chatterbaits, or you just leave them how they are out of the pack?
It depends on what I'm doing with it. At the 3/8, sometimes I'll trim it. Usually a 1/2 ounce, I'll leave it. Full bush.
Yeah, full bush. You're going all 80s on it. I like it.
Yeah, it looked like your hair, dude.
Thanks. Revenge of the Nerds. That's it. That's right there. So you were using 3/8 and a 1/2 ounce. Like, what was depth the determination? Was the trailer the determination? What was the deal? Cover?
It depends on how high I want the bait in the water column. If I want it to fall real fast and I want to fish it, you know, 2, 3, 4 feet deep, I'm going with the 1/2 ounce. If I want to fish that bait, you know, say 1 to 3 feet deep, and I want to kind of keep it in the strike zone just a tick longer, then I'm going to go with the 3/8. You know, up until about maybe 2 to 3 years ago, I fished a 1/2 ounce almost exclusively. And then about 3 years ago, I started mixing in the 3/8, and I thought, oh, Jesus, I've been missing it.
Really?
I didn't realize what the 3/8 would do, man. I just I was missing it. So now I really, I kind of understand they're two different tools, man. If you're not fishing both sizes, you're messing that up.
Interesting. I started as a 3/8 guy and then now I'm just stuck on that damn half. It's like, but I noticed during the derb, you were switching it up and it was a matter of depth. Is that your answer? That's why you switched it up at St. John's?
Depth and speed. A 3/8, you can reel a lot slower. The half ounce, it's a faster moving bait. So if I want that bait to slow down, then I'm gonna probably go with the 3/8. Like on a cloudy day, I try to slow it down a little bit, make it easier for them to find, because they will track it and find it and kill it. Got Sometimes it. I might want a little heavier. If you got more bright skies, I don't want them to get as good of a look at it. I want it to be a little bit faster, so I might go to the half ounce during those kind of conditions.
The you were also throwing a spinnerbait too, weren't you? You catch some on the spinnerbait?
I caught a good one the last day on a spinnerbait, and I lost a good one on the spinnerbait the last day. But I had not thrown a spinnerbait all week until we had those windy conditions. If you get a lot of wind in Florida, you better be chucking a blade, bro. They will wreck that thing.
What? How'd you pick your spinnerbait for that derb? Like, how did you went in the box and you're like, okay, you hadn't caught a fish on a spinnerbait all week. Wind's blowing. You're like, man, I need a spinnerbait. You went in the box. What was in your brain?
You need a 3/4 ounce and big willow blades on it.
Gotcha.
That's the Florida. But I throw like a handful of different spinnerbaits. That one that I was throwing was from Dave's Tournament Tackle. I had him probably 6 or 8 years ago make me up about 6 or 8 of the 3/4 ounce in a shad color that's got some gold in it. Gotcha. And the skirt's got some gold and black in the top of it. And then one silver, one gold blade. I mean, I got them made for Florida.
Nice.
And that's exactly what I was throwing.
Were they double willow? Is that what it was? Or
double willow.
Double willow.
That's right.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah, I like it when you guys that have been around for like 20 years bust out a spinner bug and catch a biggin' in a derb. I like that.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, I do. It was third cast wrecked it. He wrecked it.
Hey, I know that you got a lot of stuff to do. In fact, you're packing tonight still and leaving in the morning.
I haven't packed a thing and I've still got a couple hours worth of tackle to do.
So we're gonna wrap this up. I'm gonna ask you a couple questions and we're gonna get the heck out of here. Is that cool?
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna rapid fire me.
Yeah, I kind of want to pick your brain a little bit more about you. I know you've been doing a lot of derb talking, and we're gonna get a little mystical, okay? Because you won on a very mystical place. All right. So let's face it, St. John, Klun's victories. I mean, 2 times. You almost 2 times. Did you hear my voice went up? Almost.
Right.
Like, I mean, did you feel any mysticism on that body of water? Do you feel it there? Especially being a victor?
I feel like sometimes I kind of click with the place a little bit, into where, and I'm not married to anything. I know guys that have fished the St. John's a lot more than me, and they seem to be married to certain areas and certain types of techniques to catch them, and I'm definitely not that way. I was like, man, that was good last year, I just got a feeling it's gonna suck this year. Like this one area that I fished the last 2 times we've been there and caught fish, I never even went to it. I just never went to it. And I actually asked one of the other anglers that I saw in there both years, I'm not gonna say who it is, I saw one of these and I asked him, I said, hey man, did you do any good in there? He said, man, that second day I caught 1 5-pounder and that was it. Like, So I didn't miss anything. But I joked with somebody the other day. I said, if I go back to the St. John's, I've never fished a tournament north of the Palatka Bridge. I think one time in a fog delay, my boat drifted north of the bridge, but that's the only time I've ever been north of the bridge in a tournament. I think I'm going to just only practice and fish the tournament north between Palatka and Jacksonville, just because it's different. Just because I've never seen it before. I don't know anything about it. I might just try it.
When you're out tournament fishing, you described this perfectly. There's both of these things going on. Are you more mentally or physically challenged? You being in pretty good physical shape, I mean,
if people know me, they would probably say mentally.
Okay. So you're
I'm mentally challenged for sure.
Yeah, especially during a tournament. Yes, I've seen it.
Right.
So during tournament times, is it more mentally grueling or physically grueling for you personally?
It's a little of both. I enjoy the tournaments, everything about them. I enjoy the grind. I enjoy the physical challenge of the whole situation. I enjoy the mental strain of, you know, staying focused for 9 hours during the tournament and then staying focused for, you got to stay focused for 10, 12 hours during practice.
That's
a
lot.
Make sure that you stay on top of it. Yes, it is mentally tough.
And you practice forever. You're out there forever.
Yeah.
You've always been that way. I noticed that about you.
Yeah. Yeah. I know, but I enjoy that part of it. And if you don't, maybe you need to do something else, but I enjoy that part of it. I mean, I enjoy nature. Even if it's, you know, kind of chilly and raining or whatever, I still enjoy being out there. I enjoy the elements. All of it. I just enjoy all of that part of it. And I kind of try to lose myself in the tournament, in the conditions, in the place, and just try to stay dialed into the fish.
Zone
and
out.
What they're doing. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
It's fun.
That's all that matters. Yeah. You're a derber through and through. There's no doubt about it. And you told me all these personality traits of a tournament fisherman that are so they just flow throughout every single tournament fisherman, you know. So with that being said, get this. I need you to think, and we're gonna kind of go out with this one. But think of tournament bass fishing as a triangle or a pyramid, okay?
Okay.
And the bottom right corner, all right? Mm-hmm. The bottom right corner is victory, all right?
Mm-hmm.
What are the other points? What's the bottom left corner? That's the first point. That's the starting point. The middle point is the top. And then the bottom right is the victory. So it's a path to victory. What's the path?
I would say the starting corner is preparation.
Preparation.
And that's very broad and very long. It could be years of preparation. It could and then there's preparation, you know, for 30 hours or whatever leading up to that tournament of just boat and tackle preparation, whatever that might be for that particular event. And then the pinnacle, the top, the halfway there is adjusting to the conditions that you're getting. And that might, you know, you might have all this preparation for all these different things, and then you get there and it's not really kind of what you thought it was going to be. So you have to be able to adjust and to figure out what they're doing. Even like, let's say Buddy Gross, like those places that he fished, let's say he fished them in another tournament and he knew they were good places. I promise you there's bait adjustments. There's adjustments that he had to make during the tournament to stay on them and to be able to keep catching them for 4 days. So I think that's the preparation is one. The top part is the adjustments and the playing the game. And then the final one is the victory.
Excellent answer. I mean, really. And if you think about it, that's what it comes down to. That's the Derby pyramid right there. Hey, that's a great answer.
That's it.
Hey, good luck to you, man. The rest of the year.
Yeah.
And at the Classic.
I appreciate that.
I want to talk to you more. I wish we weren't pressed for time. I'd like to talk bassing all night with you, bud.
All right. That's it. Fine. I'll just win another tournament. That's fine. I'll win another tournament, and then we can come back and talk. Okay.
Would you please do that quick?
I'm glad you said that.
Just hurry up and win so we can have another Straight Cast episode with John Cruz.
It'll be about March 10th.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. I don't know. Who is that? Andy that said that?
Yeah, he did.
Just amazing.
Yes. Amazing. John, thank you so much. Great. You've always been a huge athletic supporter of this show, and we appreciate
it. I cup you.
You're the best, dude. I'll see you at the Classic. Safe travels. Be careful out there.
I will see you and your bushy hair next week at the Classic. And I expect a big hug, brother, and look forward to seeing you guys, and hopefully we'll hang out some down there.
Absolutely, man. Thanks again for everything, John, and congratulations on your second victory. We're real happy for you, bud. Peace. Take care. It's John Cruz, Bass Galaxy. Give it up for him right there. Hey, put the power poles down. Don't go anywhere. We got another champion coming up. It's Buddy Gross, your Harris Channel Lake champ. Woo! That's right. That's how we bass fish and talk show.
Step up your game. It has been said that professionals are only as good as the tools they work with, and Alpha Angler has developed the ultimate set of tools for you, the competitive angler. Alpha Angler custom rods, brought to fruition by the passion of master craftsman Jake Boomer and 2017 BASS Angler of the Year Brandon Palinick. Alpha Angler rods are custom made in the USA, designed and engineered to be perfect. Alpha Angler utilizes a very unconventional approach to making the very best bass rods, from drop shotting to flipping. Alpha Angler's focus is on building perfectly balanced tournament grade bass rods at an affordable price. Join the Alphalution today and purchase direct at alphaangler.com. Step up your game. Alphaangler.com.
As a professional angler, I rely on my equipment to be successful on the water, and my eyewear is no exception.
Oh, yep, good one.
6 pounder, 7 pounder.
From daylight till dark, every single day of my life, in the truck, on the water, my Amphibia eye gear provide 100% polarized protection. They're ANSI safety rated for impact, and best of all, they float.
Hear he, Bass Galaxy. You are amongst royalty. Please give it up for two-time Bassmaster Elite Series champion, the one and only Mr. Buddy Gross. That's right. That's you, Buddy Gross. What's going on?
Not much, man. How are y'all doing?
I like it. You gave me the Shooter McGavin right at the beginning of the show. Yeah, that's right. You got the shooter. Dude, congratulations on your victory. Two times, bud.
Man, I tell you, I'm still waiting on somebody to wake me up.
It's crazy. You've just been nonstop, I'm sure, since Sunday, just going, and then off to the Classic in a minute. It's crazy, isn't it?
Very crazy. I came home with every intentions of fishing the Toyota Series down at Gunner's when I got down there and realized how tired I was and had all these interviews coming up, so I just bailed out, came home.
You know, it sure beats being a truck salesman, though, doesn't it, bud?
Sometimes it does.
My pops was saying to me today. I gave him a ride over to the airport, and he's like, "Ah, so what are you doing?" I'm like, "Well, I got to go to Alabama, and then I'm going over to Bassmaster Classic, and doing things for Power Pole and TH and all that good stuff." And he's like, "Boy, you got a rough job these days, don't you?" You know, you're a fortunate guy, bud. You know, we're all fortunate because of this fish. Whether you're a tournament winner or you're just a weekend angler, this fish brings so much happiness. Isn't that amazing?
Very amazing. This brought me happiness my whole life.
It's nuts, buddy. It's like, I don't know what it is. Some people get it and some people don't. Like, okay, so somebody might catch the bug for soccer, you know? Like, but guys like us, like, we caught the bug for bassing. It's like, that happened. That happened to us. Isn't that nuts? Yeah.
Very much.
What do you got to do? You got to take out the trash? Did you miss taking out the trash tonight? Is Leanne on you over there?
No, my daughter just poked her head out here and said good night, and I was trying to wave her good night, but she's already gone.
I thought you forgot to do chores and got on a talk show before the chores were done.
I run this house. Just ask her.
I know you do.
I'm in trouble.
Hey, Leanne won that tournament too. We know.
I still haven't seen the check. They said they give us one, but I haven't seen it yet.
Well, she has.
I'm sure.
Hey, but no, back to it, man. This little fish, such amazing opportunities, and especially for a guy like you. Now, with two victories under your belt in a short time on the Bassmaster Elite Series, man.
Yeah, Lord's just blessing me is all I can tell you. I don't know how it happens. I'm telling you, that's the worst practice I've had in a long, long time. I'm thinking like I'm going to catch 10 pounds if I get lucky and catch a big one. I might have 12, you know. I mean, it was a bad practice, and it just turned into something.
It did. And before we get into your current situation, you know what I mean? Let's do some time traveling. Let's do a little time traveling and go back in time. Buddy Gross, what do you think? I'm going to take you back.
It's scary.
I'm going to take you back to 2016.
I'm looking at it.
All right, you see it? You see it right there, all right? Now, in February of 2016, you were fishing a tournament organization called the FLW Tour. Remember
yes,
that
I
one?
Do.
And,
I do.
And you hitched up the boat, and you headed on out to the Big O. Big Okeechobee. Yep. Big Okeechobee. Right?
Yep.
And you came through with a whopping like 161st place, bud.
That's the first time I ever seen a Florida bass.
161st place in an FLW Derby, and that's your first year out as a pro. And then you moved it on over. You went to Hartwell in March. That sounds familiar, right?
Yep.
Hartwell in March. Oh, look at this irony right here. Well, don't look at that Derby because you came in 163rd there, bud.
Yep.
Yeah, that was.
I remember it well.
Yeah, that one stung too. That one stung too. But then in April, you moved on over to Beaver Lake. Beaver Lake, the famous the famous FLW stop of Beaver Lake. Everybody loves beavers, especially Rick Klun in 2000. But we're back in 16, and you came in 21st, so that's pretty good for you there. Right?
Yep.
On beaver. Missed the cut.
I remember like it was yesterday. It was my first check, and I missed the cut by 1 ounce.
All right. So now you got some momentum, right? What do you do? What do you do? You slide on over to Pickwick, grab yourself $100,000.
You know, sure did.
You sure did, man. Like from dirt up, boom. Isn't it crazy? Isn't that crazy? That's tournament bassing.
It was very crazy.
Dude, think about that. Like, what are you thinking? You just get in the game. You got 260 place finishes. You got to be thinking, like, what am I doing? Are you thinking, what am I doing?
We were about out of money, and then all of a sudden we hit that lick, and it straightened us up, and it put us where we're at. That win doesn't come. Buddy Gross is not sitting here right now talking to you.
Yeah. I mean, that is such a major thing, especially like, I mean, like, I'm just no disrespect intended because you probably were doing this yourself. You might have been, there might have been some doubt, Buddy Gross. There might have been some doubt. All right.
Yep.
So, I mean, and let's, you won that event, but let's get this. Let's keep going a little bit. We're still time traveling, but we're going forward. 17 and 18, it didn't happen for you either.
Nope.
I mean, it was like, exactly. That's what I have written in my notes. 17, 18, nope. That's exactly what I have written here. but it didn't, man. So you went from low to the highest to now down low again. And it's 2019, and you need to make a decision. Like, something happened in Buddy Gross's life, because now in FLW, you're kicking ass. You won a Derby in 19, right? You ended up winning one on FLW. And then you're doing great in the Opens as well. You're fishing both things, and you're fishing well. What happened to Buddy Gross? What happened?
You know, I traveled with Thrift 1 year, and I seen a lot of character in him as far as he made sure he caught limit everywhere he went, and then he worried about getting a little better and a little better and a little better. Buddy Gross wasn't catching limits. I bet you if you go back and look at that 163rd and 162nd and all that, I wasn't weighing limits in every day.
That's right.
I had just come off Tennessee River where I only had to fish for one day, and I had to catch 5 giants, and I was trying to do that on an elite on a pro level, and it don't work that way. You have to have, you're going to have bad tournaments, and you got to try to figure out how to make it the best tournament you can, even though it's going to be a bad one. And that's what I did. I started figuring out how to catch limits. And when I started out figuring out how to catch limits, my points started getting better. I mean, those years you're talking about, for the first 2 years, I finished 98th in the points and 99th, I think. I was barely hanging on to even making it in FLW, even though I'd had a win.
Right.
I still finished 98th. So, you know, at some point, something just clicked in my head. You're going to laugh, and I'm going to tell you this. In 16, I didn't even know what a wacky worm was. And in 17, I didn't even know what a drop shot was. I knew what it was, but I never threw one.
Sure. You hate spin poles.
I do, but it's part of fishing. And it's part of fishing at this level, and you have to feed your family at it. You better figure out how to make sure you make some cash and some checks and make some money, or you're out.
Right.
And I love my job. So I kind of had a career change as far as I had to figure out how to cash checks, and then the winning started coming. But when you chase checks, you lose the ability to win also, if you're not real careful. It's a fine line, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's a big jump, man. It's a great realization, and thank God for literally, I mean this, thank God for Brian Thrift. I mean that he was put in your path to kind of give you an example of a successful derber. You know what I mean?
Yeah, now let me tell you something. Brian Thrift also cost me a ton of money. He's got more tackle than anybody I know. And he carried more rod and reels than anybody I know. And I'm literally telling you, I had 15 rod and reels going to fish for a living, and he had 143. I was like, man, I'm not prepared. I mean, he had more rods on the deck than I had in my boat. So, you know, I carry more tackle now. I carry more rods now. And I have more line in the truck to change some stuff up, but I don't use it all, and I don't use it all the time, but I got it. Okay. If I need something, I'm able to make a move without having to go to the tackle store. I mean, I learned a lot from him, to be real honest with you. And you know, and several of the guys that he's run with and fished with have been around me. These guys work hard at what they do. So it's been pretty cool to learn along the way.
I
didn't ever fish as a co-angler. These guys that fished as a co-angler are so far ahead of me. It's not even funny. They got to see how it was done before they went to do it for a living. I never seen nothing but the front side of my boat my whole life. So I was behind the eight ball. I had to learn the hard way, and I was able to run around some people, ask some questions, learn some things, and it's made me a better angler. But I'm having to come up the hard way.
That shows quite a bit of character for you, Buddy Gross, to basically admit that you're like, man, I'm screwing up. I better figure this shit out, or I'm in big trouble, and I'm not going to be able to achieve my dreams here. So you kind of swallowed your pride, bud. And in 2019, you became versatile buddy.
I had to. I mean, I wanted to stay in this game, and my family deserved it, and we just worked hard. I mean, it was a hard process, but you know, it was something that needed to be done. You know, and I don't know if I did. I hope I did it the right way. But I do think that the guys that started out as co-anglers have me years ahead. I mean, a jerk bait, I'd rather get kicked in the butt by a donkey. I mean, like, there's just some things I just don't like to do. But
it's a lot of work throwing those jerk baits, buddy. hey, but you blossomed. The bud blossomed in 2019. All right.
Yep.
I mean, pretty cool. Pretty cool. You said, I don't know if I did it the right way. Well, hey, are you okay with it?
I'm okay where I'm at right now, I promise you. I'm having the time of my life now.
Okay, well, that's all that matters. That's all that matters is that you're okay with it, and the man upstairs okay with it. Everything's cool. And then you became versatile. You became cool with Buddy. You qualified for the Elite Series. You made a life decision, a life-changing moment. He said, I'm going over to the Elites. I'm gonna fish the Elites, and you just went ahead and won one. You're like, oh, okay, I guess I'll just go win one of these.
So, I wish it was that easy.
Nah, well, you did it. Versatile Buddy came through, didn't you?
He did.
He had a great year.
But he got back on a big fish slugfest kind of lake. Them slugfest, man, I like that stuff.
I know you do. You're a spot guy. You're a dang spot guy. That's okay.
it
I don't know. Wait, you hesitated there, buddy. Is it not okay?
It is okay, but I'm telling you, sometimes it's not okay. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, sometimes the wins that I've had, I didn't see coming. They show up, and I can feel it happening in the moment. And I know I'm close, but I always feel like I'm a little bit away. Like, I didn't have any idea I won this past weekend. When I pulled up, I didn't even look at my phone when I checked in. I had no idea when I pulled up to the boat dock and I seen my wife's face. I was like, uh-oh, we might have a shot at this. And I didn't know it till that moment. I still didn't look at my phone. I was like, do we really got a shot? She said, you got a shot. So,
yeah, amazing. And you tasted the blood before. I mean, you had some of that Alabama blood. And now you're like, I want some of this Florida blood. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. And
I love the competitive part of it. Now, whenever you think you're down and out and you're not going to make it, that's when I dig the deepest. I want to get to the top.
Yeah, and I mean, you basically, that was a great event. I mean, what a cool event that was, and just to watch you just do Buddy Gross stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's
except for the Carolina rig, that's not really a big thrill of mine.
Yeah, that's almost like a spin pole for you. I guess that's a super patience thing. But
I'd rather had a jig or something in my hand or a Texas rig worm. And when the wind died down, I picked up the Texas rig worm and I got bigger bites on it than I did the Alabama rig. But the Alabama rig was huge and very critical to making that deal work.
Hey.
I said Alabama.
Yeah, you meant Carolina rig.
Alabama rig.
I know. I know what you're talking about. We'd have seen it on Bass Live if you were throwing the Alabama rig, and then Bowman would have had a big meeting and everything else, and all kinds of crap would have hit the fan. You know how that went, bud. But
now, believe me, I wish they let it come back. I would love to throw it again.
I'm sure you did well on that bait, but and still.
I did.
Hey, you find cool spots. You're a guy that can find cool spots, buddy. Like, what do you think that is? Is it all electronics? Is it that you use multiple electronics? Is it a knack? Is it like what is your opinion on you about finding cool spots?
I want to find the needle in the haystack everywhere I go. It don't always happen, but I want to find it because I've always fished that way. I mean, when I find that needle in the haystack, that's when you find something that is special. And when you find something special, you can exploit it and make it be exactly what you see. It's trophies on the wall or on the shelf. But they're hard to find. They used to be a lot easier before everybody had such skills with electronics. Electronics come so far. You know, I'm running every brand on my boat this year. Right. I don't have one sponsor. I'm not sponsored as far as an electronic company. But I'm having to learn this game a little bit. You know, these boys that play, I don't know, Atari and Nintendo and Xbox and all that stuff, they got me beat too because I didn't play that stuff. I stayed outside or in the woods on the lake. So.
I had the bass fishing game. I had the Hank Parker bass fishing game. I had that one.
I didn't have – I remember there was a Sega Genesis come out with a fishing game. You actually had a reel to play with. I had that one. I did play that. We had tournaments at my house. That's how much we did it. So.
I used to shoot stuff on the television screen, too. I had the little gun one, too, bud. But, yeah, I don't know. I suck at electronics. But, I mean, you're obviously good at them. And you got three different brands or whatever, however many brands you use on the boat to find that needle in the haystack. I mean, is in your opinion – I know this is a tough question, like, because I don't want to limit you in any way, but do you need that? Do you need every brand? So, in other words, you got to have X, you got to have O, you got to have Y in order to be.
I just don't want to take myself out of the possibility of needing it and not having it. I don't turn them all on all the time, but I have it when I need it because I learned something several years ago at. Of course, I got in trouble. We don't want to go there. But at Lake St. Clair, you needed live scope in order to catch them out there in the roaming wide open. And I didn't have it when I got there. I think on the third day of practice, I installed it at about 2:00. I mean, like that's how far behind I was, you know. And it cost me a relationship with some people, and I've mended the fence since then. But you know, my company that I was with at the time was behind, and what I had would not let me fish that way. I could have fished a whole nother way, and really, in hindsight, I wished I hadn't put it on, because I think it cost me some valuable points in AOI that year. Trying to learn something in the flow of things was not a good idea. I could have went and just used the 360 and found the grass and fished like I've always fished. I think I'd have been better. But, you know, but when I seen it work and I started catching fish with it, the only thing is I caught, if it would have been a walleye tournament, they could not have been close to me. I caught the biggest walleye in the lake. But I did. And my only mistake was I knew what the walleye looked like, but I pitched in a group of walleye one time and caught a 5.5 or 6 pound smallmouth, and that ruined me. So then I pitched every walleye I saw. So it was a learning experience. But yeah, technology, and I think you need them. I think you need them all right now. Yeah, I really
and,
do.
But I'm just making an observation as a bass fishing fan, buddy. The serious outside guys, whether a lot of them are going to tell you or not, are running all the brands. Because it just seems to be something that's going on. Like,
what?
I mean, and I ain't, I mean, whatever people have with their sponsors, whatever. I'm not opposed to electronics. I just don't understand the damn things. That's all.
But I mean, there's so much that nobody's really talking about. I mean, we got three different sets of maps when you run three different brands. You got three different sets of sonar. You got three different sets. Everything, they all have a feature that they're better at than the rest of them. Whereas one that shines more than other in one department, but none of them have it all yet.
Do you ever think we'll see a day in the bass fishing industry where you'll have to a viable extent, buddy, to a extent of value where a person like you can have multiple sponsors, where you could be sponsored by X Coffee and Y Coffee? Do you know what I mean?
It needs to happen. I don't know if any of them's going to ever let it happen, but it needs to happen, because they're missing a market share by not doing that, because we're all using the electronics and we could do a whole lot better job of marketing them if they would help us financially, to be honest with you.
I mean, exactly. And I'm not only talking about electronics, bud. I'm like, well, maybe there's a certain lure that all you guys are using. And if you're not using it, the other ones on the market, maybe you're just not up to snuff. But like, you know what I mean? It's like that. But then it's a catch 22, because that other brand has the amazing product that you're using too. You know what I mean? It's like it just socks you in the jaw as a professional angler a lot of times, doesn't it, bud?
It does. You got to kind of find the companies that align with what you do, though. That's the whole deal. The electronics deal, though, is costing us, all the guys that are doing it, it's costing us a lot of money.
Yeah. Hopefully you're making it on the back end. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm going to say. You better be making it, or you'll feel the pain. Last year, I felt the pain. I made the Classic. I didn't have a bad year, but financially, it wasn't a great year. I mean, it was a good year, but it wasn't a great year.
I get it.
For the 2 years before that, we had great years. And I'm, you know, we're no different than anybody else. You get used to that, and you kind of change your lifestyle, and then when it goes down, you can feel the pain. So, you know, spending that much extra money after that, you know, I'm basically spending 3 entry fees on electronics every year. So
That's a lot. And hey,
that's a lot.
I don't care what anybody says, and again, I say this respectfully, tournament bass fishing is gambling anyway.
It is,
believe me, tons of skills involved, 100%. The cream rises to the top always. But here's the thing, man. At that event you were talking about, buddy, I remember, all right? I was there. A lot of people were like, man, I'm gambling. I think I got to put this thing on. I'm going to risk losing sponsorship because there's $100,000 at stake. You know what I mean? Or a check that's going to equal more than my sponsorship.
And if I'd have went up there and had a top 10, I had that real potential to win AOI, so it wasn't just a tournament. That was $200,000 on the line for me.
Right. That decision is a real decision, buddy.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even plan on this going there, but I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm not proud of what I did. I did it wrong, but like I said, I think we've moved past it. But there was a lot of people at a disadvantage at that tournament, though.
You can't say you did it wrong, but I mean, if you feel you did it wrong, you did it wrong, but you did it for a reason, and it was your reason at the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's the thing. It all worked out. You're a gosh dang blue trophy champion twice. That's all you need. You remember when you were Shooter McGavern? Where'd Buddy go?
Hang on. I don't know why.
Oh, there he is. Hey, bud. Boy, I thought he hung up on me.
Now my battery said I was getting low. I apologize about that.
No, you know, you came out Shooter McGavern. You know, that's what the deal is right there, man. Hey, you being a spot guy has its ups and downs. I mean, a lot of times, bud, it takes a series of unfortunate events to find fortunate events. Does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense, yes.
Especially being an outside guy. Like, you did it at the Harris Chain. You learned a valuable lesson. And I'm just going to tell you something. I'm no pro angler, but I do this all the time, bud. Whenever I find a school, I burn the hell out of it, buddy. I catch them all. Catch them all.
Let me tell you something. I've learned a valuable lesson. And on the first day, I was fortunate enough to find the first school. And I burnt through them a lot because I had so many people that could see it. I left there, though, and I found the biggest school of big fish I've ever found in a tournament in my life. And I caught five of them, and I left thinking I was going to catch them the next day. I never got another bite out of that school. And I promise you, I could have led that first day in 15 minutes, and I left them. I will never do that again, I don't think. That hurt me. I thought because the second day, every day of that tournament, I caught them somewhere different. And that's something a lot of people don't know. They all think I went the same places every day, but they were dry. They never showed back up. I just had to keep looking, and then I'd run into them.
And that's the unfortunate events that lead to the fortunate events. And I was being a wise guy by saying, always burn up the school. I know, but, you know, I mean, I'm
no. I'm going to tell you something. I'll burn them up next time. I won't never do what I did. I'm like, I'm telling you, I should have. Oof, I thought I messed up because the second day I thought I had the best school that could be found on that lake, and I go to them and I don't get a bite. And you talk about letting air out of your sails, Lordy mercy.
Yeah, that's tough. That's when like the whole 2016 comes back. You know what I mean?
I thought I was fixing to have one of them finishes. I really did.
I mean, because here it is, you're tasting it, you're there, and then, but readjustments, just like your bud Johnny Cruz did at St. John's, the derb before, that those constant daily adjustments leading to the fortunate events. And you found, you know, you found another load of fish, man, and you're good at figuring it out.
One bad decision, though, you know, several times, on the third day, you seen my bag went way down, a 14-pound bag. I hit all my little areas, had no bites in my little areas, and panicked. And I left the lake and started running. I went all the way to Beauclair and Dora and Eustis.
Burning some gas.
And I caught a limit. But it took me till 2 o'clock to catch my limit. And then I come back through and I hit my stuff again, don't get bit. But if I'd have just calmed down just like I did on the last day and just fished, I'd run into them again. So, you know, that decision that day could have cost me that tournament. I thought it did. I thought if I had 17, 18 pounds again that day, I thought I'd have a good chance. I wouldn't have been 3 pounds behind when we took off on the last day. But, you know, a 3-pound deficit with that caliber of fishermen, you got Cox and Scott and Brandon Lester. And, I mean, them boys is catching them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One's 10-pounder and they're done and they're all catching giants.
I mean, I'm going to say no disrespect, but like, when I saw you were struggling when them schools left a few times, I was like, man, I don't know. I think Buddy might have messed up. But you pulled it off. That's what counts, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. You, but during that derb, man, you got to fish your style. And here's one thing I want to make a little point of, too, for the outside guys and the backup plan. You had two types of outside stuff, right? You had the soft stuff and you had the hard stuff, right? So you had the best of both worlds, didn't you?
Yeah, I could have went inside the grass line and fished with those guys. I had everything marked. I had all the holes in the grass, isolated clumps. But there were so many people fighting over those fish, I didn't want to get into that. But I would have if I hadn't got on that little hard deal I went to, and it just kept working. But I had to cycle through them. Like I'm telling you, I caught them in four different places, and it just took six or seven places to get to the four places.
The and you seem to know when things are clicking. And you got to catch them in your style, bud. I mean, you're through the swim bait. You love the dang swim bait. You're throwing a you're throwing a swim bait. You're throwing a multiple different types of Texas rigs, and then the you're winding the plug, that three-quarter lipless.
That lipless, man, that thing caught so many fish. It looks like that thing has been drugged down the highway between here and Florida. It is beat up. I retired it. I've got very few lures I retired, but I retired that one.
That's awesome. What's another one you've retired?
I got a XR100 red. I can show it to you before we quit, but it's hanging up right over right now by another trophy. So it's there's just some baits that have caught a lot of fish, and I don't want to lose them because they have just that battle with them. Here, I'll show you.
Sure. Let me, yeah.
Let's you don't see. Care if I show you that.
No, no, go take us on a tour.
My garage is trashed right now, but I apologize.
That's it. It looks good from this angle.
Let's see if I can get up here closest.
Don't hurt yourself, bud. You got to go to the Classic.
I got to figure out how to turn it around, though. Damn, man.
But buddy's doing ladder work in the garage.
Look here. Here's some of my trophies.
Oh, heck yeah, bud. Would you look at that? The hardware.
We got some hardware.
Heck yeah. Hey, you know one of the coolest things Rick Klun ever told me?
What's that?
He said, always keep, as a tournament fisherman, always keep your trophies up. Because it reminds you of what you need to do. Yeah. For a while.
I got them every time I go to the garage.
Yeah. For a while, he said he didn't have them up, and then Melissa made him put them back up. And it,
really?
And it reminded him of what he needed to do. Yeah, that's
makes sense. I'm sitting here staring at him as you're saying that. I'm looking like, yeah, I get it.
You know what you need to do, don't you?
Yeah, I'm really wanting one of them wooden-looking ones next.
With a little bit of gold in it? You mean the one with the bit? Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
I think it's got a globe on it, too.
Yeah, it's a bit. The Wide World of Bass. And you know that. You know that trophy. You know that one right there. Hey, let's go back to this deal. Before we get to the Classic, we're jumping ahead. But let's go back to this Harris chain. Do you beat the snot out of that... what was that bait? That was that Spro?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Spro 75.
And a lot of guys are throwing that bait, and you were throwing the three-quarter, right?
I was, yes, sir.
You changed the hooks on that?
Oh, yeah. I went to big hooks. I always put big hooks on there because when you catch a big fish, they need a lot of hook to hang on to them.
No, I got you. So what'd you put on there?
Twos.
Size twos. You use a specific brand? Is there a brand hook you use? Are you
I use Owner Needlepoint round bend. That's my go to hook.
Gotcha.
And it's my sponsor, but it's my sponsor because I like the hook.
Gotcha. No, I get it. I get it. Yeah, that old Owner is a stout hook. And you were just throwing you throw everything on that. You love that Fitzgerald 7.3 heavy.
That 7.3 heavy was all I had on the deck that week.
Yeah, man. I mean, you threw everything on it. You were punching with it. You were throwing the lipless on it. You throwing your favorite Carolina rig on it. You threw your.
I'm trying to figure out how you knew I was punching on it.
I know all this stuff, dude. I know everything.
Man,
about
nobody it. Knows that. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Dude, I know it. I'm a bassin' nerd. I know, well, don't forget. I know, like I know a lot of people in the bass galaxy, buddy. Gross. I know what you're doing tomorrow.
Hey, look here. There was a drone above me a couple of times. I never could figure out who was flying. Was that you?
You put the 1 ounce bait on. You put in to punch that hydrilla mat, and you're like, "Gosh dang, is the only fish you caught out of the thing, and the only fish punching the whole derb."
That is all. That was awesome. You paying attention? I like this,
I don't even know why I know all this dumb stuff. I just pay too much attention to bass fishing. I'm that much of a loser, maybe. I don't know.
I think it's pretty cool because nobody else has even caught that but you.
Dude, I know. I love bass fishing. Enough about that. But seriously, I've admired how you, going back to my hero, Rick Klun, you may have inadvertently done some more Klun stuff that you don't even know about. Because Klun uses that same principle, bud, and that's that one rod deal. Like, so Klun for years used the 7-foot heavy for everything. Everything.
I did not know that.
Yes, sir. And now you're on that, what is it, 7.2, 7.3?
7.3 heavy.
7.3 heavy. And
it's my favorite rod. I mean, I use it on a lot of stuff.
And Klun's using a 7.6 heavy now for everything. Yeah. I mean, winding a plug, everything. He just changes lines.
Yep.
That's pretty amazing. You didn't even know you were like Rick Klun.
I didn't, but I Matt is a cool cat. We tied up. We were beside each other for several days this past week, and you know, before blast off, man, he's a cool cat.
He had a good derp too.
And a real good derp.
And he had a cool hat the whole
time. He was over there in front of me, too. He was in that whole flotilla. That was 50 boats over in front of me.
Man, that's something else, man. Hey, Bud, I want to talk to you about that swim bait a little bit. You love swim baits. And I don't throw a swim bait too much. I throw a swim bait for the smallmouths a lot of times, like the, you know, like the Kitexual Seduction types, you know. But you're throwing them Tennessee River swim baits, man. Like, am I missing out not throwing that in the north?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You are.
Talk to me.
Those big smallmouth y'all got up there, they're eating 5-inch bait all the time. I promise you. I have taken a 6-inch swim bait to spotted bass lakes between here and Hartwell. And you would believe the spots we catch, you know, 23, 24 pounds of spots, 27, 28 pounds of largemouth. They just eat it. I mean, everything that swims will eat a 5-inch bait. I mean, like a 2-pounder will eat a 5-inch bait. So,
and what's that one you throw? What's that?
Scottsboro Tackle. 5-inch is my favorite. He has come out with a 5.5-inch that I am playing with, and I really like it. You know, we got five. I mean, we got everything. He's got a 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5, 5.5, 6, and a 7. I mean, he's got every size.
Do you have a Buddy Gross go-to retrieve, or do you vary it and, like, let the fish tell you, quote-unquote, like they say?
I do sometimes, but no, I have a retrieve. I'm a let it go to the bottom. I count everything. I can tell you how many seconds it takes my bait to get to the bottom everywhere I fish. And
wow.
How many cranks I make before it goes by. I let it stop and pause and I count everything. If my depth finder quits, I know how deep I'm fishing just by the countdown. So really? It's something I started doing before we had all this high dollar technology, and I just catch myself doing it.
Very and interesting. So you said you could tell how deep it is if your depth finder quits. Now that's based on what? A certain swim bait head size and a swim bait, or is that
if you throw a 3/4, 1 ounce and you count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and it gets to 10, you're in about 12, 14 feet of water. I mean, it's just, it don't really matter. They fall pretty straight and true, and I Mississippi everything, and I count my reel turns. And if I'm ledge fishing, I count them all the time because I want to know where the ledge is. If I count, what I do is I reel it 10 counts and stop. And if it don't fall very far, then I'm close. I'm still on the ledge. And if I reel it 5 more and it falls 2 more seconds, and then I know I'm just coming off the ledge. And then that way, my next cast, I know where I need to pause it, and I fall right at the ledge. I mean, I do some stupid stuff, but it keeps me in contact and know exactly where I'm fishing and what I'm fishing. You know, 360 makes it a little easier because you can follow our ledge now with it easily. But back in the old days, I had to do it with my bait.
That fascinates me. That's fascinating. That's another quality of a champion, that you just do that and it's so second nature to you. It's like nothing. It's like you don't even know you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody asks me when I'm up there, if I'm talking to myself, my fishing partners over the years, and then they kind of got the habit of it.
And
you know, we were catching suspended fish on Chickamauga before anybody knew how to catch them. And that's when we really did well. But, you know, there's baits and tactics now that makes it easier. But back in the day, we were counting swim baits down and catching them over 30 feet and 15 feet. And, you know, and that was all because of the countdown that I figured out.
I love that you're 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi in them. That's outstanding.
It's a solid countdown that you can count on every time, you know.
So what's the lucky number when Buddy's getting to that one number and getting bit? Are you like, yeah, it's on? What's your lucky Mississippi? What is it?
It's around 10. Right. 10 Mississippi is a good Mississippi.
10 Mississippi, that's the money.
Yeah, and on my real turns is about 6 or 7. So I mean, it's pretty neat.
Oh gosh, that's awesome, dude. That is so cool. Have you done a video on that?
I've never really talked about it openly. I've talked to some people about it and just tell them how much I count. And nobody really pays any attention to it. But the people that really know fishing will pay attention to it.
Hey, you know who the guy that appreciated it? The guy that knew you were flipping with a 7.3 heavy, you know?
I regretted it when I set the hook on that fish because it about had me whooped. I'm not going to lie to you. When I went back the next day, I had a 7.6 extra heavy.
And you didn't catch one out of there, see?
No. I did catch two little ones. I don't think they made
those don't even count. Those don't count, bud.
Oh, I tell you that countdown deal. You remember the old Rapala countdowns?
Of course. Yeah, they're big here where I come from.
I'm trying to remember the year. It's somewhere around 2000. I had a guy get in my boat with a gold. I don't remember the number, but it was one like, it was less than 3 inches probably, but it was a gold countdown.
Okay.
And I took him to a spot I've been, Nigga Jack was really where I did most of my fishing for years. I took him to Nigga Jack to my best spot, and he wore me out on a gold countdown.
Oh my goodness. On a spin and pole thought, too?
Yeah, I'm 90% sure. And I think it was even an old, it wasn't a Cardinal, but it was that vintage Cardinal.
Yeah, it was like a Garcia stuff. Mitchell, like my grandpa had.
Yeah, and I'm like, this can't be happening. And I had him give me one of them in about 5 minutes. I was whipping his butt with the bait he brought. I mean, I was like, yes, sir.
When you got the 10 Mississippi, you're like, later, non-boater, I got this in.
That's exactly right. It was awesome. But and really and truly, I think that's probably when my counting started because I could figure out where my baits were in it. I could tell you how long my spinner bait took because I was a big slow rolling spinner bait guy before the swim bait deal hit. I love the slow roll spinner bait. Like it is, it's as good as swim bait fishing. It's just slower. You can make 3 casts to 1 nearly on a swim bait of what it takes me to get spinner bait in deeper water.
Wow. Yeah. You outside guys like that. My buddy Matt Robertson likes throwing that spinner bug outside too.
I love it. That's how I cut my teeth. I mean, back in the early 2000s, I was hard to beat with a spinner bait. I mean, like, my spinner bait won me a lot of money. And then somebody showed me a swim bait, and I was like, there was a Storm swim bait, so I started throwing the prepackaged.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they called them. I still got 15 packs back there, but that's what started it. I had some carrot sticks. I broke 2 carrot sticks a tournament just about.
Go figure. Bud, where'd you go again?
You got to let me go grab a cord.
Oh, go ahead. Go grab a cord real quick.
1 second.
Yeah, go do what you got to do. I think it's interesting that the outside guys, that their tools of the trade are usually spinner baits and swim baits. It seems those are the ones that get the big bites. Here's another thing. Hey, Ginge, get this. Gingy. So, tell me a trait that you notice about outside fishermen. Something that you notice about guys that fish outside. What do you think, Ginge? Put your microphone in front of your face and tell me. I'm going to tell him. What is it? Buddy's going to know.
What is it?
All right. Buddy, you know what a trait is that outside guys have that I notice all the time. Besides that, you guys are some of the sneakiest fishermen ever. You are. You look at you smiling because you know you are. You
got to be sneaky when you fish out wide. If they see you turn around, they're on to you. Son.
I don't care if you got a 1 pounder on or a 975. You point that rod right at the fish and you just reel. You don't because that you don't want nobody. You don't want nobody on that sight fishing bent pole pattern. You know what I mean? That's what you outside guys do. You don't fight the fish. You just wind them in, and then you go floop right in the boat. See ya, son.
Yep. I promise you, that's where you learn that how to fish like that. There's no doubt out wide.
Dude, you guys all do it. I don't care. You can always tell even when an outside guy is up on the inside and you know, say he's just winding a crankbait or something or a spinnerbait around some stuff. He's still holding that rod down, just winding him in. Flump in the boat. it's an inherent trait. You know what I mean? But
hey, I'm telling you, you're impressing me by the stuff that you watch. Now, I'm not kidding.
Come on, bud. Hey, I'm a bass fishing talk show host. I got to be on top of stuff, man. You know what I mean?
Well, I talk to a lot of bass fishing talk show hosts that don't notice some things that you're talking about.
That's whatever. Hey, you think there's coincidences in bass fishing?
Not really.
You think there's coincidences in life?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do? So
why everything happens for a reason. Okay. Everything happens for a reason. I do believe that. We live by faith. We believe in the Lord here. But some things happen. I mean, you got two people in control. I mean, that's just the way it is. The devil's got a little bit of control. God's got a lot of control. And sometimes things happen that we don't want to happen, but it's all on purpose.
Right. So there's no coincidences. I don't think there is. I don't think there's coincidences in bassing or life. But, I mean, it's just, so here's what I'm getting at. So you've heard this a lot of times, bud. You know, the announcers on the show are saying, you know, Buddy Gross had it coming. It's his time. When it's their time, it's their time. You know what I mean? Is that a thing? Or is that like, should they be saying like, now I'm going to get deep. I'm going to get deep, buddy. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Should they be saying like, God wanted Buddy to win today? Is that the same thing? Is that the same thing as saying it's his time? Is it the same thing as God wanted Buddy to win today?
I'm not going there now. No, now listen, the Lord knows what's coming, but if I want to jump out in front of a bus, we got free will. So there's a lot of free will that changes things.
100%.
So if we make the wrong decision or choose to go down the wrong path, that's on us. But I do believe that the Lord gives us the gifts to do things the right way. And when we make the right decisions, it all comes together.
Put it in action. We have to put it in action correctly.
Yes.
Excellent. So
life, fishing, driving, everything. I mean, it's all, we have free will. And when that free will allows us to do what we want to, we have to choose to do the right thing at the right time.
Yeah. You wouldn't have won all that hardware if you were just sitting on the couch with the fishing game, you know what I mean? With the fishing video game.
Yes.
You made the decision to go out in the
park. And when you see me do what I do and say, thank you, Lord, I'm just giving him credit for what he's given me the ability to do.
Dude, I'm with you.
That's what that's about.
It's puzzling to me. I'm a man of faith myself. I'm not questioning anything. I'm simply making an observation. I hear people say it all the time in tournament bass fishing. And I think to myself, when they say, oh, it was his time. When it's your time, it's your time. Well, are they saying like, oh, this is God's plan? I don't know. I'm not trying to get religious. I'm not trying to get, well, maybe a little philosophical. But it's like, I mean, it's just something that I think we hear in all sports. And I often wonder about it. You know what I mean, bud?
I think, and this is my opinion, I think that in order for us to have a platform for more people to see that we trust in the Lord and live by the Lord's rules and ways and stuff, we get to be on a bigger platform. That platform, for me, I should not be able to fish for a living. When I started professionally in 2016, as you started talking about earlier, I had no job and $5,000 to my name. And this is a true story. And I'm embarrassed by it. And how old was I? Six. How many years ago was 16?
Six.
No, it was more than six, wasn't it?
16? I don't know. What is it?
It was 7 years ago, I guess. But anyway.
All right, whatever.
So how old was I? 43? I was 42 years old and didn't have no money. I mean, like, I'd went through a bad time in life and law. You know, I had a divorce several years before that, and I just never really got recovered from it good. So when I tell you I shouldn't have been professionally bass fishing, I should not have been professionally bass fishing. The Lord opened doors, made a way for us to be able to make it. And I promise you that $10,000 check made me be able to go to Pickwick. And then when I went to Pickwick, we won that $100,000. And it was 100% in order for me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, because
I believe that with all my heart.
You put it in motion, and it was Buddy Gross's time. It's all part of the path. Just like you ran into Brian Thrifty. Start staying. Yep. It's all part of the plan, man.
Yep.
I don't know. Enough of that stuff. Let's just we share similar views, bud. We share similar views. Hey, so do you let's hey Jen, do you want to do like a 20 questions or something with Bud? Yeah, let's get to know you a little better. What do you say? You want to do that?
You scare me with this stuff sometimes.
Oh, come
yeah,
on.
We'll try.
Don't be scared. You're in good hands. We're giving you 80s game show music for this. What do you think? Ladies and gentlemen, Bassmaster Elite Series champion, Buddy Gross, due time. Champion, we're going to get to know a little bit about Bud. Bud, tell me something about yourself that you do not want me to know.
How long do I got to answer this question?
Tell us something about, tell everyone something about yourself that you don't want us to know.
I'm overweight and I don't like it.
Okay. You're quite the man to admit that. And you can do something about that, just like you did something about it in 2016. You know that's right. Good answer, bud. I like you, man. You're a cool dude. Hey, who is someone that, let's say, God forbid, that you couldn't practice for a tournament, but you called the powers that be at BASS, and they said, bud, we're gonna allow you to have a competitor share everything with you, their whole practice strategy, and a competitor agrees to this. What competitor would you fully trust on the Bassmaster Elite Series?
I'm out of this game.
To give you accurate information and not sandbag you, who would give you the most accurate information?
I don't know if anybody out there would.
They're all sandbaggers, aren't they? Man. I mean, it's cutthroat, bud. It's cutthroat.
It is a hard, hard business to find something like what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it
costs a lot of friendships. I don't like going down that road.
Do you think? I don't even know if Chris and Corey Johnson tell each other everything.
No. No way. And you know them well. And you know them.
That was a setup. Sorry. Hey, in pro bassing right now, like the current state of professional bass fishing, what grinds Buddy Gross's gears? What gets you a little irked about pro bassing right now? Is there anything?
I really feel like I am. I think you've been really practicing on these questions. I think you have this lined up pretty good.
Buddy, I don't know what you're talking about. You mean I'm actually prepared? Is that what you're saying? I don't know what kind of shows you've been doing. You must have been.
What really grinds my gears is, man, you're just wanting me to get too deep. I think we're a professional organization that everybody wants to make a living at. But I don't think you ought to walk on other people to get where you need to be.
Okay. I like your answer. So success at any cost is not success in Buddy Gross's eyes.
Not to me.
Okay, I respect that.
And I can tell you, because I've lived it, and man, this is getting deep, and I know people's not liking hearing some of this stuff, but sometimes when you travel with people and you have a really bad practice and you land on them sometimes. I had a really, really, really bad practice this last tournament, and I win the tournament. And I don't want anybody, when I say I'm having a bad practice, my bad practice to somebody else may not be a bad practice to them, but my bad practice is a bad, if I'm not catching 15 pounds, it's a bad practice.
Gotcha.
Somebody else might think not catching the limit's a bad practice. So I think we all have a little bit of different opinion about what a bad practice is. I've never, since I started fishing professionally, had a tournament where I thought I was going to go out there and crack them yet.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of hard feelings to get with people when you start trying to share information and somebody thinks you're holding out and you really are not. It's a hard, hard thing to find traveling partners. I can straight tell you that.
I'm sure it is, man, because you're both paying your bills the same, you know, the same way. No matter what it is, it's not like you're Jordan Pippen. You know, you're on the same team. At the end of the day, you still have different bank accounts.
That's right. And when everybody has obligations, everybody loves their family, and we all trying to feed them. That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, and hey, it's the job. It's the job that everyone chose. That you guys all chose that. You're there and you love it. That's okay. Yeah. Hey, bud, you gotta have like, what's your guilty pleasure in life, buddy? Like, what's something that, like, whether it's a certain treat or a TV show or a tight, like, what is Buddy's guilty pleasure? What's something you just can't get enough of in life?
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea. Okay. I got you. You make your own, or what's the deal?
I have to sneak and get it because my wife don't want me to drink it. Oh. If I get started on a gallon of sweet tea, it don't last long.
You sound like John Cox in his Coca-Cola. Like Melissa won't let him drink the Coca-Cola. You guys ought to sneak off together and go to the bar, and you have a sweet tea and he have a Coca-Cola.
That's about the way it is.
That's outstanding. Hey, what's your like dream sponsor? Like, if you could have a dream sponsor, what's Buddy Gross's dream sponsor?
Little Debbie. Are you kidding me?
Little Debbie. You like the cream Little Debbies, like the log ones with the cream inside, that one?
I like all of them. Have you seen my figure?
You are rocking that Bassmaster Elite Champion dad bod very well. Mm. Oh my goodness gracious. Hey, you used to sell trucks. You used to sell, like, you were a truck salesman. Like, I don't see Buddy Gross like throwing pitches. Did you have to like throw pitches on a floor on a showroom, or how was it? How'd it go down?
No, we actually had territories. We actually got out in the car and run our territory every day. I had to be in the office one day a week. The rest of the time, I was out in the field.
You mean fishing? The rest of the time, you're out fishing.
I did get caught fishing several times. I've wasted a good job or two over fishing. There's no doubt. I have a sales manager right now. He may be watching this, and he knows. He called me one day and said, "Hey, buddy, where you at?" I was like, "I'm down in Rome." He's like, he was following me to the boat ramp at the time, you know?
Dude, we've every sales guy, or any person of any profession that has any free time on their hands during work that's a fisherman or any sneak time, they're going fishing. Fishing. I mean,
and I had it at an early age. I got into the truck sales deal when I was 21 years old, and I think the youngest truck salesman within 500 miles of us was like 45. I mean, like, I was 20 years ahead of the game.
You were hustling.
Well, I wasn't hustling. I was very prepped as a young man to go into that business because that's what my dad did.
Okay, so gotcha.
he was a manager, and I was very blessed to be able to have a job at that age, and I could really probably be sitting on Easy Street if I'd have just not fished.
Nah, you're doing good. You're on the right path. Hey, what's it like? What's the dream car? Like, what's Buddy's car? Like, if you go out and spend a bunch of money you had to spend, what would it be on what car?
It would be a 60s model hot rod is what it would be. I was a big hot rod guy early on. My first car was a 67 Camaro SS 4-speed. I mean, it was a really nice car. So I'm a Chevelle, big block, big horsepower.
Hell yeah.
White rubber smoke when I leave out of here. I mean, like, that's me. I like hot rods.
Damn straight.
White horsepower.
You got a 7.3 heavy in the middle, and then Leanne right on in the passenger seat right there. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, we got to have a bench seat. I need it over a little closer to me.
And you got to have the
Chevy. I mean, Chevy 2s, Chevelles, Camaros. I mean, any of the 66, 7, 8, 9, 70 mile. I mean, I'm just right there. I was in the 60s cars. That was what I liked.
Awesome. Yeah, I like it. And I see you carrying that 7.3 heavy Fitzgerald for protection in case you got a rumble. You know what I mean? He's getting a little rumble stick right there. Hey, I gotta ask you this, man. I asked Johnny Cruz about it. Now I'm gonna get deep with you, okay? Now I need you to think about this, bud. I need you to think, okay? Because bass fishing in life is like a triangle. There's all kinds of points in life, right? We go to different points in our life, and you talked about a lot of them already. But I really need you to think about tournament bass fishing in the 3 points of tournament bass fishing. All right. And the bottom point at the right is victory. 2 times for you on the Elite Series. Okay. But the bottom left, all right, is the starting point. The top is the next point on the path. And then that bottom right is the ultimate victory. So I'll give you an example. John Cruz said it was preparing, adjusting, and then victory. So what would your 3 points of tournament fishing, Buddy Gross's 3 points of success in tournament fishing?
Preparation, performance, and decision-making.
Okay, I like it. So decision-making, too, is huge, obviously.
Very.
Like, for example, when you were at the Harris Chain and your big school wasn't there that day. What am I going to do?
And I just kept rotating other spots till I wound up with a sizable limit, and then you just have to start rotating back through. My preparation started on the first day when I had 20 pounds early. Then I started looking after 10:30. I looked the rest of that day to find more spots, and I fished the rest of those spots all week long.
Dude, and you could have just been like, shoot, I'm going to just go have little Debbie's. I'm done. And you did.
Yes.
You did. You didn't. Hey, you ever dream about winning? I mean, like, do you actually dream about winning?
No, my dreams are hook sets. I wake my wife up weekly with a hook set in the bed.
Are you serious? That's awesome.
I don't remember nothing other than it wakes me up and I have set the hook. When I set the hook through the bed, about falls down. I mean, it's nasty.
Like a slack liner. Like a full body slack liner.
I'm not talking about a spinning pole. I'm talking about just set the hook on a 10-pounder on braid in the back of a mat. I mean, it's nasty.
Oh my goodness, man. You better put some body armor on, Leanne.
I hadn't hit her yet, but I'm talking about it wakes us up. It ain't no joke. I mean, I'm wide awake. Like, holy cow, that was a good one. But I tell her whenever I get done.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10-pounder.
Yeah. We laugh about it a lot because it happens a lot more than I want to admit.
Dude, there's so many amazing characteristics of a champion that you have. First off, you're counting all the time. You're setting the hook into sleep. Like, this is good stuff, bud. This is real good stuff. Hey, so, like, if they were going to make a movie now about Buddy Gross, like, who are you picking to play you? Who's you, Buddy Gross, in the movie of your life?
And it's got to look like me?
I don't care. Who do you want to play?
I got to pick a movie star, or can I pick another fisherman? What are we picking?
Well, no, you got to pick a movie star.
Movie star.
Yeah, who's the movie star is going to be?
Oh, I wish I could remember this guy's name. I got to think for a minute.
Will Ferrell?
No, it was somebody like John Candy. I mean, John Candy had worked, but it was a new John Candy is what it was.
Okay, gotcha. Chris Farley?
Yeah, Chris Farley. That's what I was trying to think about.
I'd like to see Chris Farley as you. That would have been a good
one. He'd be a nut.
Hey, are you feeling cool about Hartwell? How you feel?
I'm kind of giddy about it. I'm really looking forward to it. And I can't believe I'm saying that because I do not like Hartwell Lake. You've seen my finish the only time I've been there.
Yeah. I mean, so why are you feeling giddy about it? I don't get it.
What you don't see about that Hartwell tournament, and again, when I told you I didn't even know what a wacky worm was at that tournament, I'm not telling you a story, but what you don't see is my practice that day. I had about a 25-pound bag one day. I had a 22-pound bag one day, and I wasn't trying to – it was all scattered out. I caught a 9-pounder in practice.
Wow.
First day of that tournament, everything I was doing, I could see them following, coming all the way out from under the places I was fishing, and I didn't know what to do with them. I seen enough to win the tournament every day probably, but I just didn't know what to do with them. I was very green, very young, and not very young, very young in the sport is what I'm trying to say, but – I had potential to do good in that tournament. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Gotcha. You've been watching the weather, bud?
I've been watching the weather for 2 weeks.
Okay.
I've been looking to it. I've been way ahead of the game for a while.
All right. I like it. What do you think? What are you thinking about this weather pattern?
They're moving right now. The cold front coming is going to slow them down. I don't think they'll move far, but I think it's going to be a great tournament. Somebody's going to crack them over there.
Yeah.
And whoever figures it out is going to crack them really good.
All right, but I got to ask you, inside or outside?
More inside to me.
More inside. Okay.
I'm not saying I like that, but I'm thinking the inside guys is who's going to catch them.
So you're telling me when you win the tournament, you're going to win it inside?
Yes, sir.
All right. I like your attitude, buddy.
I think you're going to need to fish some outside somewhere along the line, but it's not going to be as much as the inside.
Yeah, man. I mean, But it's a big week. It's a big week for you anglers. I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, when does it start? It starts the
Friday morning.
Friday morning already.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious. And then it goes all the way to the following Sunday.
Yes, sir.
That's a lot of Durbin, bud.
Well, I've been on the road for 5 weeks, so it's just another day now.
You're like a rock star.
I finally hit rock bottom the other day, though. I was more exhausted. I wasn't sleepy. I was just exhausted. So it caught up with me, and I'm trying to get caught back up here. But I'm sure proud I didn't fish this last derby when I come on home.
Yeah, man. And Bud, I got to tell you, man, we're happy for you. You're bass fishing fans like Buddy Gross. We do.
I hope so. Yeah. Because I'd like to stick around for a while.
Absolutely. And we learned a lot of cool stuff about you tonight, buddy. I'm happy we did, man. I'm happy we did.
Yes. Well, I hope I didn't step on any toes, but it's a tough business. You know, most people at the elites, I'd say 99% of them are great people to be around. The elite atmosphere, feeling, Bassmaster does a great job making it easy for all of us. We get a lot of emails, but we stay informed. I think that's a great thing. It's a great place to fish. I am very happy where I'm at. I like all the anglers out there, and I like the camaraderie, and I like the friendships that can be formed with these guys, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, you're an elite. That's why they call it the elites. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I mean that's the deal, bud. Hey, if you have any words of wisdom from two-time Bassmaster Elite Series champion Buddy Gross and two-time FLW champ Buddy Gross, what do you want to say? Is it two-time or three-time FLW?
I've only got two majors. I got two. One of the Costas.
Okay, one of the Costas. Okay, so four major events, champion. Yep. Words of advice to bass fishermen across the galaxy from champion Buddy Gross before we go. Give some words of advice to bass
fishermen. Can I tell you a story first?
Absolutely you can.
You're a fishing fan, right?
Yeah.
So, I guess what a lot of people don't know, I've done a lot of my growing up fishing on Gunnersville Lake.
Yes, sir.
Some names that I'm going to tell you won a lot of tournaments. Ed Geddes, Billy Ledbetter, Marshall Deakins, Jerry Wells, and there's more. Those guys could catch me. They didn't have all the fancy electronics. They actually fished and found fish with a fishing pole and fishing. And I fished against some guys that got my butt kicked for years. And we was talking about this one day this week because Marshall Deakins, do you know the Marshall at all?
I don't know.
Marshall is a legend around the Gunnersville Lake area, around a lot of lakes.
I've heard that name. I've heard that name.
And I remember Marshall and Randall Tharp were partners for a long time.
I'm with you.
Randall became.
With so, you now. Yep.
I was fishing down at Gunnersville one day, and it was 40 degrees, rained all day, almost snowed. I mean, it was that real cold rain.
Yeah.
And we'd weighed our fish in, and we got beat that day. And we got beat by Marshall and Randall. And we were leaving, going across the bridge at Goose Pond. And I looked down under the bridge, come a boat while we were going across it. And it was Marshall and Randall. They had fished all day long, just like we had. They were soaking wet and they were cold. And I think they finished second that day. But you know what they did? Put their boat back in the water, and they went fishing to figure it out. And I told my buddy when we crossed that bridge, that's why we're getting beat right there.
Wow.
And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And we never left before dark again on practice. And if we did bad in a tournament, we put back in. And that became my motto. I work hard at what I do. I go early. I stay late. And I study the game on what I do. I don't watch enough YouTube. I don't do a lot of that. I still stick to my skills because I don't want to get sideways and lose what I've got, because it does work sometimes. So I just work hard. I go early. I stay late, and I try to figure out what I did wrong when it goes wrong.
Buddy, that's awesome stuff. Heck yeah. I mean, that's all the advice a derber needs right there. That's inspiration. Bass Galaxy, give it up for two-time Bassmaster Elite Series champion, Buddy. Shooter McGavin. When are you leaving? When are you leaving, bud? When are you getting out of town?
We're leaving tomorrow. Okay. I'd be leaving early in the morning, but Leanne's got some stuff to get done tomorrow, so I'm waiting on her. And I think I got a couple more interviews in the morning. My Bass Trophy is going to go to the trophy we just won is going to make it to the Classic. So I got to go drop it off for the guy that wants to put it in his booth. And
cool.
A few things to get done, and we're going to be ready. My garage looks like a tornado hit it, but the boat's almost done. Just got to work on the truck in the morning. We're about there.
There it is. Hey, best of luck at the Classic. Capture many. Be careful. And best of luck in the rest of 22, bud.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dude, I had a great time with you. I hope you had a good time, too, and you're welcome back on this show anytime, buddy. We'll just talk straight bassing. You know what I mean?
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
Hey, give it up. Buddy Gross. There it is right there. Peace, bud. See you at the BMC. Look at that, Ginge. Look at that. There's another Stray Cast glorified version of an outdoor cartoon television maniacal, maniacy, crazy train show again, bud. You know what I'm saying? You okay with all that?
I don't know what you just said.
Yeah, I don't either.
I think so.
All I know is the Bassmaster Classic's
yes.
coming up.
Yes.
The BMC.
It's here.
The BMC is the biggest event in bass fishing. And if you want to come say hi to me, I'll be at the Sims booth. I'll be at the Tin Cup Whiskeys, the Abu Berkeley. And I will be at Power Pole and Teach Marine, too. So come over and say hi. And if you see the Omnia guys walking around, say hi to them. Whoever you see, just say hi. It's the Bassmaster Classic. It's the Mecca. It's the Catalina freaking wine mixer, a bassin, bud. I mean, for crying out loud. Hey, thank you to John Cruz. Thank you to... Oh, we got to give prizes.
Yeah, I got them.
Holy shnikes, I'm already closing the show.
It's all right. I got them real quick here. Ready?
Yeah, wait. So what do we got? We got four... We forgot to tell Buddy and John they were giving prizes away, too.
You tell them next week. Just grab some out of their boat.
So J-Coz is our bud over in Jersey, and he's on the chat board during the Straight Cast show, and he's the one that handles the prizes. So whoever wins this tonight, it's four prizes. And three prizes.
Okay.
So, Ginge, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you announcer voice, and then you do the prize winner, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, Andrew Ellenberger, the winner for the KVD Lighted Lure Pack is...
Kyle Strother.
Kyle Strother, you won the KVD Line and Lure Pack, Pro Pack. All you got to do is direct message Mr. Jake Haas, or just direct message the Stray Cast Facebook page. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Ellenberger, who's the winner of the John Cruise Fun Pouch?
Cody Strother.
Cody Strother.
Something like that.
Cody Strother.
Mm-hmm.
Direct message Stray Cast Facebook page. Attention, Jake Haas. And then... Finally, you got the Buddy Gross package. Who won the package from Buddy?
Jason Morris.
Jason Morris. That's not Johnny Morris's.
Maybe.
Well, then he can't win because he gets free tackle.
Yeah. That's
but Jason, you got to do the same thing. Direct message. You won the Buddy Gross pack. We're getting when I go to the Classic, I'll steal something from one of their sponsors.
Right out of their boat.
Yeah. And we'll do that. Hey, wait, Ginge, before we close, do you have anything that's like that sounds like sticks?
No.
Like anything that like any techno stuff? What was that thing you played for John Cruise at the beginning? I like that one. What was that one?
Hold on.
Let's see what that one was. It is time to close the show and go home. We would like to thank the Power Pole. Pow! Thank you, TH Marine and Atlas. Yes! Sims, you keep us comfortable.
No, yeah.
Sha! I can't help it.
I know.
I'm excited. Freaking excited. It's a Bassmaster Classic, dude. Crying out loud. Thanks, Abu and Berkeley. Thanks, Alpha Angler. Gosh, Ginge. Rained on my Pardo. Crying out loud. Poisoned me with Ichikawa hooks. They're sharp. They capture things. Dakota Lithium battery. They're light and they run. I could throw a Dakota Lithium battery farther than I can throw a regular battery. Did you know that? Dare you to knock that one off. Omnia Fishing. It's where I shop. It's where I get stuff at Omnia. You know what they got right now? A ton of Berkeley stuff. Ton of it. Ton of Berkeley stuff. Abu stuff. All kinds of good shit right now. Hey, you know who's cool? Dan Bravarni. I like to go fish Brevarney. I like Dan Brevarney. Bite Me Tackle. Brevarney Swim Jigs. Don't forget about those. Bite Me Tackle. If you don't have hunter heads for the spring, you're screwing up. It's the hunter head. KVD Line and Lure. Thanks for the giveaway tonight, Isaac, over there at KVD. Amphibia. Thanks, Amphibia. Throwing shade at us. Tin Cup Whiskey, Luke Foley. We're firing Luke. Bringing Veronica on. She's the new whiskey gypsy. Enough of Foley. And Crestliner. Thank you, Crestliner, for keeping us afloat. It was a very awkward close. But I think we will be... we'll be off for a couple weeks. But we got something going on. We got best subs or viewer hosts or something. But, Ginge, I'm traveling. So you got to be busy, Ginge. You got to do a whole show yourself. You pick the guests. You do everything. So next week, it'll be Andrew Ellenberger hosting the Straight Cast Show with the guest of your choice, Ginge. You can have the ghost of the ghost from Bob Rutherford's attic as a guest. That would be a good guest. And him and Doug Hannon. Two ghosts. And Fighter's cat ghost. All in one episode. It's Andrew Ellenberger and three ghosts. Next week on Straycast. I'm Pat Renwick. I'll see you at the Bassmaster Classic. Peace! I love you, Bass Galaxy. As we sail across on this thin raft of bassin' in love. I'll see you then, or I'll see you on another time.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance.
No, just kidding. This is Pat. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Straycast on iTunes and leave a review. Tell us what you think. Any feedback is greatly appreciated. Thanks for listening.
Peace!